Our final reading is from Luke chapter 1, and there's actually an insert inside your service sheets on which it is printed. And so now would be a good time to get out your night vision goggles if you want to actually read it. Otherwise, do just listen if your eyesight isn't up to it. So this is a prophecy by Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Well, Christmas would not be Christmas without what? What makes Christmas Christmas for you, I wonder? Is it the turkey? Is it the presents? Is it Santa? Is it the Queen's speech on Christmas Day? For me, personally, it's lights. Winter is cold, dark time of year, and days are short, so it's the time for getting out the Christmas lights. And I love it. I mean, okay, some people go a bit overboard, and they have these decorations you can see from space. But, you know, otherwise, something tasteful, candles in the window, so something like that we've got at home, or you have, you know, candles on your Christmas tree, you've got a Christmas tree at home, this kind of thing. Or if you go into town, you see the, maybe you've seen the lights on Regent Street or Bond Street and Oxford Street, and so on. It's wonderful. I love it. And, you know, this little place here with our candlelit service, it's just fantastic, isn't it? The coziest floating carol service in London, by far. These lights are also a good reminder about the true meaning of Christmas. That Christmas is all about light in the darkness. It's what the original Christmas was all about. So in this Bible reading just now in Luke chapter 1, right at the end there in verse 79, it said that the baby who was to be born would, and this is the final bit there in bold, he would give light to those who sit in the darkness. He would give light to those who sit in the darkness. It's the message of this prophecy. It was spoken by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. And Jesus would give light to those sitting in darkness. That's why Christmas is such good news. Our wedding anniversary is December the 11th. We got married in Stockholm, in the snow, so my wife is Swedish. And we've changed a bit. But we didn't want to inflict one of our wedding photos on you, so this is just some random people. But it was this kind of idea. It was one honeymoon option we had was to stay in Sweden, but to go to the far north. And we thought long and hard about this, but I don't know if you know these things, but up in the north of Sweden, once you get past the Arctic Circle, at this time of year, it's what's called polar night. And the sun doesn't come up at all for weeks on end. Now, it can get you. Perpetual darkness can make some people feel sad and can make other people go mad. And we thought, well, maybe that's not the best start to married life. So instead, we decided to head south, and that's what it would have been up north. We headed south instead to Morocco, and we had some winter sun for our honeymoon. Imagine, though, living in darkness, polar night. Imagine living in the dark the whole time. It'd be horrific, but the Bible says that is our condition, spiritually speaking. What does it mean, though? What does it mean that we are, as it says in verse 79, sitting in darkness. In what sense? Well, let me give you three from this passage. First, there is the darkness of sin. Verse 77 refers to the forgiveness of sins. So sin is the Bible's word for wrongdoing. The wrong things we think, say, and do. And let's face it, there's plenty of that in our world today, isn't there? I mean, what's been in the news over the past weeks? We've had, you know, double standards in politics. We've had the abuse of young women by wealthy, powerful people. We've had exploitation of migrants by criminal gangs, and on it goes. No wonder the Bible talks about this present darkness, talking about our world. But the problem's not just out there, is it? The problem is much closer to home. The darkness is in each of us. It's in our own hearts. And it spills out, doesn't it, in selfishness, in envy, in lust, in pride, in conflict, even at Christmas time, even around the Christmas table. The Bible says all, without exception, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it says of us as a rebel human race, it says their foolish hearts were darkened. If Santa, if Father Christmas is only supposed to give gifts to those who've been good throughout the year, why are any of us getting presents? Second cause of darkness in this passage is enemies. So verse 71 talks about being saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Back then, first century Israel, the people were, they were under Roman occupation, had very obvious enemies there, and their history was one of invasion and exile, obvious enemies there. But talk about enemies for us, we might think, well, it feels very alien. We don't have enemies, do we? But the Bible says, actually we do. We do, spiritually speaking. We're up against the arch enemy of God and humanity, the devil and his forces of evil. And also, and for many, I guess this would be a big surprise, we are in fact enemies of God. So having gone our own way as a rebel race, we're on the wrong side of God, the Bible says. We're under his judgment. And that would be a big shock, I think, for many people, wouldn't it? I think most people probably assume that God, if he's there, he's pretty pleased with me. The Bible says we're enemies. We're on opposing sides. We're alienated. We're at war. And then the third cause of darkness in this passage is death. So verse 79 speaks of those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. New York is a city of skyscrapers. They look impressive, don't they? But there's a problem. And the problem is that big towers cast big shadows. And residents have been getting a little bit upset about this, about the shadows that these new skyscrapers that billionaires are having built are casting over public spaces like Central Park. So one journalist said that he was out in the park, in Central Park, on a sunny afternoon when all of a sudden it became chilly, it became dark. The sun had disappeared behind some new tower that was going up. And so we live our lives in the shadow of death. Death is a big tower, casts a big shadow. And we try not to think about it, but we feel the chill in the air, don't we? And COVID, of course, has made the shadow even longer with its 5 million plus death toll. And we think, well, what if death is the end? Or we think maybe, what if death isn't the end? What if there is a judgment to come, as the Bible warns? What if Jesus is right when he warns about a future eternal outer darkness where the sun never rises? Now, at this point, you might be checking your invitation to check you've got the right event. You're thinking, what's going on? You know, you come to a carol service to get into the festive spirit. There's some guy up there whose face you can't see in the dark, and he's going on about the darkness of sin and enemies and death. And you think, well, what's going on? Christmas is supposed to be good news of great joy. And it is. Christmas is wonderful news. It's wonderful news that Jesus is the light who has come into the world. But to grasp the goodness of the light, we have to first face up to the darkness of our condition. Last month, you may have read in the news, there was a caver in Wales, and he was deep down inside some cave system beneath the Brecon Beacons, and he fell 50 foot off some ledge, and he was knocked unconscious. And he broke his leg, he broke his collarbone, he broke his jaw, he damaged his spine, and there he lay. He was alone in the darkness, 900 feet underground, for more than 2 days. But finally, thankfully, he was rescued. Thanks to this team of more than 250 people, he went down into the darkness to save him. Well, that pictures what was happening that first Christmas. Verse 78 here says that God visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. So at Christmas, God was sending his rescue team down into the darkness to save us. A one-man rescue team. It's what Jesus was. And this idea of rescue, of salvation, it's all over this passage, isn't it? I've highlighted in bold some of the references. A salvation promised long ago, fulfilling verse 73, says, God's promise to Abraham. It was centuries before Jesus was born. A salvation bringing light into our darkness. In what sense? Well, the three things we saw earlier. Firstly, we saw earlier that we're in the darkness because of sin. But Jesus has come to bring the light of forgiveness of sins. So verse 77 speaks of salvation in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. This forgiveness is what Jesus would go on to secure through his death on the cross for us, for our wrongdoing. That's the connection, isn't it, between Christmas and Easter time. That's a wonderful thing to know, that you are forgiven by God for all your wrong. It's amazing. This guy, Robert F. Smith, billionaire tech investor, in his speech at the 2019 graduation ceremony at a place called Morehouse College in the States, he announced in his speech that he was going to wipe out the entire student debt of every single student who was in the room. 400 students, $58 million worth of debt, just like that, would be wiped out by him. And you can imagine the scenes as this room erupted in joy. It is even better. It is even better to hear that your spiritual debt has been completely wiped out. It's been paid for by Jesus on the cross. It's all been forgiven. But unlike with those students, it's not automatic. There was a German poet, a guy called Heinrich Heine, who said on his deathbed in 1856, he said, God will forgive me. That's his job. It's not automatic, though. He forgives those who turn to him and put their trust in Jesus, the rescuer that he sent. Second, we saw that we've got these enemies, but Jesus, he brings the light of salvation from these enemies. So verse 71 talks about being saved from our enemies. And verse 74, delivered from the hand of our enemies. So we thought earlier about the devil and forces of evil. We don't have the power to defeat them, but Jesus does, and he did. Verse 69 calls Jesus a horn of salvation for us. Why horn? Well, you know, horn in those days, what did it symbolize? Power, strength. In Jesus, God has sent us the powerful rescuer that we need. I wonder who your favorite superhero is. Is it Thor? Is it Iron Man? Is it Superman? Wonder Woman? Spider-Man? You didn't see the film yet? Black Widow? Apparently Batman, he's the nation's all-time favorite. But Jesus, he's the original. He's the real superhero, sent by God to rescue us from enemies too strong for us. And to bring us back to himself. Do you remember we saw we were enemies of God? But Jesus as the light has come to bring us back to God himself. So that rather than being enemies of God, we might be friends and reconciled to him. And as verse 74 says, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days, as we were created to do. And thirdly, Jesus brings the light of salvation from death. Verse 79, says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Through his resurrection, Jesus would go on to defeat death. And those who trust in him are promised eternal life, life with him and his people, beyond death, in a renewed world, in resurrection bodies like his. It's the ultimate Christmas present. What are you hoping for this Christmas time? Imagine a Christmas present of eternal life. Once we have this sure hope beyond the grave, it means that, as verse 79 says, we can walk now on the path of peace. We can be at peace, even in the face of death. So the dark shadow of death, it doesn't have to terrify us anymore. As the writer of one of the most famous psalms, Psalm 23, says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Well, how much we need that assurance, that peace at this time, in these dark days of a global pandemic. That's why I love Christmas lights. The reminders of what Christmas is all about. The light coming into the darkness. But actually, as we close, notice that Jesus as the light of Christmas is much greater than Christmas lights. He's sunrise. I mean, that's the picture, isn't it? In verse 78, it says, in Jesus, the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those sitting in darkness. So Jesus is not just, he's not just one of these candles flickering in the dark. He's not just a little torch like this thing here, which gives a bit of light. He's not like an electric light hanging on the tree back there. He's the sunrise. He's the end of the night. He's the dawn of a new day. A candle, I mean, it gives some light, gives some warmth in the darkness, but it's pretty limited, isn't it? It's temporary. It's not enough. We need something more than that. We need something bigger. We need something better. We need the sun. Did you know that every square meter of the sun shines brighter than a million light bulbs? The sun brings light. It brings life that we need. Without the sun, there'd be no life on earth. There'd be no plants. There'd be no animals. There'd be none of us. Well, Jesus is the sun we need. And every day when the sun comes up, it's a reminder, isn't it, of where history is heading. His first coming was like the light of dawn beneath the horizon. And when he returns, the sun will rise in all its glory to shine on us, and the night will be gone. Well, what hope that gives for those who trust in the rescuer God has sent. And that is a hope worth exploring. And we would love to do that with you in the new year as we start a new course, a course called Hope Explored, a 3-session course that we'll give details about at the end.